At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. Thousands of people have signed an online petition asking the city of Fort Worth to rename Jefferson Davis Park. The Fort Worth Star-Telegram reports the earliest the Park and Recreation Advisory Board can consider the issue is late September. If the board approves a name change, it could take up to 90 days before the city council addresses the matter. It's part of an ongoing debate in Texas and across the country over whether to remove Confederate statues and symbols. The Fort Worth Star-Telegram visited several small towns to gauge reaction to that debate. Lauren Gustis is executive editor of the Star-Telegram. She told Public Radio's Texas Standard that residents in small towns aren't racing to get rid of their Confederate monuments, statues, and plaques.
We went out to Comanche, and we talked to a shop owner there. His name was Ray Williams, and he's got a boot shop, and he's got another shop in town as well. And he said, you know, he's got a Confederate flag hanging from his storefront window. And he said, I'm from the South, and I'm proud to be from the South. He said, the big cities, they're trying to make it about something else, right? And so the sentiment that we heard was that this is our history, and we're not racist. We don't hate people of color, and these monuments are to the citizens of the community here who served in the war.
In Dallas, Mayor Mike Rawlings has formed a task force regarding the removal of Confederate monuments. He wants the city council to take action on the matter by early November. The Dallas School Board will discuss next month whether to rename district schools that honor Confederate leaders. In Austin, the University of Texas removed Confederate statues from campus late Sunday night. President Greg Fenves said the monuments have become symbols of modern white supremacy and neo-Nazism. Statues of Robert E. Lee, Confederate General Albert Sidney Johnson, and Confederate Postmaster General John H. Reagan are being moved to the Briscoe Center for American History on campus. Don Carlton is executive director of the Briscoe Center. He talked with Houston Public Media.
The university does not stand for the values and principles that the Confederacy stood for. So placing them in a museum, taking them off of the public property where they're standing for, they're symbolizing the values of the institution, taking them away from that setting and placing them in a museum where they can be studied and understood in terms of historical context and the history behind them and what the intentions were, there's a big difference there. There's a big difference between honoring someone with a statue on public property and putting the evidence of those statues in a historical context where they can be explained.
In 2015, UT Austin moved a statue of Jefferson Davis to the Briscoe Center. The museum created an exhibit explaining the story behind the statue and why it had been located on campus. Meanwhile, Texas A&M University says the statue of Confederate General Lawrence Sullivan Ross will remain. Ross was also a school president and Texas governor. A&M President Michael Young says without Ross, the university would likely exist today. Today on Think, a discussion of food. It's a tradition we pass down from generation to generation. When historian Michael W. Twitty set out to explore his own food history, he started by taking a DNA test to reveal the places his ancestors came from. He talked with Chris Boyd about discovering the African origins of his grandmother's Southern cooking.
Both of my grandmothers were about 11 years apart. One was from Virginia and one was from Alabama, and they both said, you plant basil by the front door for good luck. And when I went to synagogue, my first daylight in synagogue, we went across the street, and this man had these fruit in his yard. Then I noticed a little bit of herbs growing by his door, and I asked him, what's this? And he says, it's mint and it's basil. I just broke down, because I kept seeing these things that I was told about my whole life that I knew was Southern, but they were really deeper parts of our African culture and identity. One thing I like to tell people is that if this rings a bell and you're not black, it means one of two things. One, somebody lying to you, and then you better go get that little ancestry test. Or two, you have as much African cultural heritage as I do, and we share that. And why not share that?
Michael W. Twitty is the author of The Cooking Gene, A Journey Through African-American Culinary History in the Old South. This episode of Think re-airs tonight at 10, and you can subscribe to the podcast at think.kera.org. On Tuesdays, KERA's One Crisis Away project looks at life on the financial edge. Today, a college tradition designed to make life better for people living in poverty. Most universities host move-in weeks for new students, think orientation sessions, mixers, and cookouts. As Courtney Collins reports, freshmen at Dallas Baptist University are also expected to commit a full day to community service.
During orientation, which the students at Dallas Baptist University call SWAT Week, freshmen have time to socialize, figure out their schedules, and decorate their dorm rooms. When Friday rolls around, though, it's time to leave campus and get to work. For hours, students scrub showers with bleach, sweep floors, sort through donated clothes, and do load after load of laundry. Towards the end of the afternoon, the 50 or so students at Cornerstone Baptist Church in South Dallas are beat, but they're happy.
A lot of us were just sleepy when we got here, and then when we walked up, it was just refreshing to see that we were actually impacting something that was so close to us.
JC Harris is starting her freshman year at DBU. She's from Decatur and says until today, she had no idea how many people in Dallas were living on the financial edge. Cornerstone Baptist does a lot for people in poverty. The church serves meals, has a row of hot showers for folks who have no place to take a bath, and a closet full of clothes in every style and size.
It's just really awesome to see that they have this place to go to, and opens my eyes because back at home, I didn't ever have to worry about something like this. And there are girls my age having to worry about this in this place.
And that's what this day of service is designed to teach. Dallas Baptist University debuted the new Student Week tradition a quarter century ago. This year, 600 freshmen and 200 upperclassmen were deployed all over North Texas. They spent an entire day working in soup kitchens, child care centers, and clothing closets to serve people living in poverty, people who also happen to live in their own backyard. Brandon Garcia, a junior, says for him, it's important to consider how much basic amenities, like a clean shower, mean to someone who's used to going without.
I never thought this would be something that someone would just be so desperate to have whenever I do this every day. I need to be thankful for what I have and everything that I take for granted.
As the DBU students work to help people out in the community, they say they're also getting to know each other in a very real way. Sophomore Haven Stevens says hard work is the great equalizer.
You are tired together, and you may start to see people's weaknesses, but also you really get to see their strengths because you get to see their strengths pushing through these hard and tiring moments.
While this day of service may be a requirement for every new student, many find it rewarding, even inspiring.
It's been really interesting to see. It makes me want to go out and see more. It's very eye-opening, and also we're 16 minutes away from campus, and so it's just all this is going on right outside DBU, and it's so easy to reach out to these people.
This service project isn't the end for the DBU freshman class. All first-year students must clock 18 volunteer hours per semester. Scholarship holders must log time in the field, too. Brandon Garcia says that's a win for everyone involved.
Serving together forms a bond, especially as followers of Christ, that we would go into our mission field and just be the light in darkness and get to join arms and just get to grow closer to each other, grow closer to those that we're serving, and grow closer to God at the same time.
Which might explain why after 6 hours of manual labor at Cornerstone Baptist Church, these students are still on their feet and smiling. Courtney Collins, KERA News.
Coming up tomorrow morning, malware attacks, cyber attacks, viruses, and worms, they all cause a lot of disruption. A research group at the University of Texas at Arlington is developing tools to detect and analyze malware. Learn more about those efforts tomorrow morning at 8:22 during Morning Edition. And for the evening, should be mostly cloudy skies later tonight. There's a slight chance for showers, a low around 78. Tomorrow should be partly cloudy, a 40% chance of rain with a high near 90. And tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, 30% chance of storms with low in the lower 70s. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.